I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 says this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." We are quickly approaching Christmas Day, and in fact, by the time you hear this or read this in written form, Christmas Day for this year may have come and gone. Anyway, at Christmas time, there are gifts to buy, meals to prepare, and great lists to finalize. Christmas is a wonderful time of year that we all enjoy. It's a time when we have the opportunity to gather with our friends and loved ones in celebration of the birth of our Savior. You and I need to remember not to allow the busyness of the season, gifts, food, friends, and so forth, to cloud our vision of what we are truly celebrating. Many people will have a birthday celebration and forget the honored guest. We need to keep the emphasis on Christ and what His coming to earth means to us. Had He not come and submitted to the Father's will, we would have little to celebrate in this life. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7 says this, "Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God." Of course, this is Jesus Christ speaking, and He said He came to do the will of God, the Father. Well, I've already read for you, and this is Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. I've already read that verse. He lived some 700 years, Isaiah did, before the birth of Christ. And yet he was already looking forward to that glorious day when God would become flesh and dwell among us. I want to take a few moments to examine this verse of Scripture as we seek to discover the profound truth it reveals concerning the prophetic promise of a special child. First of all, I see in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, salvation. It says, "For unto us a child is born." Well, what a comfort and hope we find in this verse of Scripture. For unto us a child is born. Our blessed Lord came to redeem us from our sin. He came to ransom the lost from condemnation. This was not a fact-finding mission. Christ did not come to discover the affairs of men so that He might report back to the Father. He came with a plan and a purpose to save humanity from their sins. Matthew 1:21 says this, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And that familiar verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I also see that Christ came for me. He came for you. He came for whosoever. What a blessing. Christ came so that we could be saved and forgiven of our sin. He came so that we could be reconciled to the Father. Christ came for us. And the question goes out, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? That's asked in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. I not only see in Isaiah 9:6 the salvation Christ came to give us, I also see His submission. It says, "Therefore, unto us a child is born." I see this. I see His humility. Many times people fail to see the great importance of His incarnation, His coming in flesh. Now, I'm not talking about a child who was born and achieved greatness in this life. I am talking about the Son of God, the second person of the Godhead, laying aside the glory that He possessed and veiling His deity in a body of flesh. The King of glory humbled Himself to be born of a virgin and dwell among men. He willingly left the splendors of heaven to come and dwell upon the earth, knowing that he would have no place to call his own, that he would be misunderstood and rejected, ultimately being condemned to death and dying upon a cross. Well, I don't know about you, but it humbles me when I pause and consider all that Jesus did so that we could be saved. What Jesus did definitely sheds new light on our petty complaints and difficulties. Philippians 2:7 says this, "But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." What humility Jesus had. Salvation, he brought salvation. Submission, he was submissive to his Father. He was submissive to this life. Well, I also see in Isaiah 9:6, "The sacrifice unto us a son is given." Well, there was a difference. Jesus was not an ordinary child. This was the Son of God. He was given for the sins of the world. God the Father offered his only begotten Son so that we could receive salvation. Christ wasn't asked to come and dwell among men just to heal the sick, raise the dead, and give counsel to the wayward. Well, these were all great and powerful miracles that he performed, but that is not why he came. Well, why did he come? Christ came to offer himself as the perfect sacrifice for sin. He came to purchase our redemption on the cross. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8 it says, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Well, the cross was not some horrible accident. It was not an event that happened when things got out of hand. It was not plan B in God's great wisdom. And from the moment that Christ was born, Calvary was in view. He was well aware that in God's time, he would lay down his life for mankind according to God's foreordained plan. Isaiah 53:10 says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief." Well, I see the salvation and submission and sacrifice, and then I see his sovereignty. It says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, Isaiah 9:6. I see a future kingdom, as Isaiah did. Isaiah 9:6 is probably one of the passages that caused the Jews confusion while Christ dwelt upon the earth. The Jews were looking for a king. They were looking for a king to deliver them from the bondage of Rome. Now Isaiah is looking beyond the life and death of Christ to his future reign upon this earth. Many have viewed the life of Christ as a failure. He rose from obscurity, coming from among poverty. He never sat upon a throne as far as human government is concerned. His ministry only lasted a few years and he was put to death. Many have believed that it was over at the tomb. Well, our blessed Lord bled and died upon the cross and he was buried. But praise the Lord, the tomb was not the end. He completely fulfilled the will of God by offering himself a sacrifice for humanity. His life and death were in accordance to God's sovereign plan. He came the first time as a sacrificial lamb, being despised and rejected of his own. He was scourged and crucified with a crown of thorns upon his head. Some who saw him crucified on that day no doubt thought that Christ was a failure and false prophet. Well, I've got news. I've got news for you and this world. Christ was not a failure. I rejoice in the Lord that his birth, life, death, burial, and resurrection is not the end in regard to the plan of God. Christ is coming again, and the second time there won't be a crown of thorns, only a crown of glory. He will come in great power to establish his kingdom here upon the earth. He may have been rejected the first time, but he will be honored and worshiped at his second coming. Revelation 1:7 says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Even so, amen. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Well, those verses surely do not sound like one who is defeated, but one who possesses all power. I see his salvation, his submission, his sacrifice, his sovereignty in Isaiah 9:6, and now I see his supremacy. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah describes the name that is above every name. He is called Wonderful. And this has the idea of being supernatural and extraordinary. Most assuredly, there is nothing ordinary or common about our Lord. He is the exalted Savior. As I think about his blessing, the blessings and benefits, now I realize that no one else has done for me what Christ has done. He alone secured my salvation. He has reconciled me to God and promised me eternal life in heaven. Our Lord is far from ordinary. Our Lord is wonderful. He's called Counselor in Isaiah 9:6. It says, this speaks of Christ being our guide and rock. This means to advise, counsel, devise, and plan. I don't know about you, but I am glad for the direction and counsel of my Lord. I am glad that He didn't save me and expect me to make it through this life on my own. Psalm 37:23, it says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." I rejoice that he has ordered my steps. Well, who better to follow than the Creator of this world and all it contains? He's wonderful. He's the Counselor. He's the Mighty God. This speaks of Christ being the Strong One, the I Am, the Conqueror, the One who is mighty and unbeatable. At Christmas, we think of Christ as a little baby in a manger, but He is the Mighty God. He's also the Everlasting Father, according to that verse, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. We're not serving one who has no wisdom or lacks experience. We are serving the Eternal God. Revelation 1:8 says, "I am an Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." John 8:58, "Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." He's also the Prince of Peace. Keep in mind that what Isaiah saw was all prophetic future. He was looking for the child, Jesus. He was looking for the coming kingdom, the millennial reign of Christ. The millennial kingdom will be when Christ establishes His kingdom and bring peace to the earth. Each time as we look toward Christmas, it is my prayer that each of us will remember and worship the Christ of Christmas. Had there been no birth, there would have been no death for Jesus. Had there been no birth, there would be no life of Jesus. Had there been no birth, there would be no kingdom to come of Jesus. And had there been no birth, there would be no eternal life for the sinner. Let that sink in for a moment. All that we have, we owe to Christ. Maybe you're not serving Him. Maybe you're not worshiping Him. We need to bow right now and say, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul." And if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, then you can't truly celebrate Christmas for the way you should. If He has called to you today, if He has spoken to your heart, why not give Him your heart right now by saying, "Come into my life. Come into my heart. I receive you as Lord and Savior."
You've been listening to It's a Good Life Radio. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We know you will be blessed. This program is listener supported. Support your local church first. Any gifts to support this ministry can be sent to LRWM at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Until next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.